All right, if you have your Bibles, please turn to the book of Luke, chapter 2. Luke, chapter 2. I'm going to be looking at a passage here when Jesus, as Jordan said a while ago, when Jesus was a young boy. Luke, chapter 2, will be in verses 41 through 52. Luke, chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. Now, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey. And they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking them questions. And all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. And when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, How is it that ye sought me, whilst wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. And he went down with them, and came to Nazareth, and was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. This passage has always been fascinating to me. I know I say that a lot, but it really has. It's always been fascinating to me because 12 years old, he already knows his purpose. Now, I don't want to diminish the revelation of God and certainly don't want to diminish the divinity of Jesus. I think we could probably all agree that when Jesus was born, he wasn't lying there in a manger carrying on a conversation with his parents. He wasn't saying, you know, I'm Jesus, I'm here, the Savior of the world. And I think we can agree to that because he's a baby. Yet, we do have to remember that when Mary was told that she was going to conceive, obviously she said, well, how can this be? And the angel tells Mary that your cousin Elizabeth, though she is past childbearing age, she is going to have a son. Mary goes to see Elizabeth. We're not really told exactly why. Some conjecture that she's going to share this time of miraculous happenings. But what I'm getting at, she comes into the room, and the scripture does not tell us here in Luke chapter 1, does not tell us that Mary actually tells Elizabeth about her. And she hadn't sent word. We don't see any indication of that. But Elizabeth had already conceived. John the Baptist is in her womb. And when she walks into the room, when Mary walks in and salutes, you know, greets Elizabeth, verse 44 of Luke chapter 1 says, Elizabeth says, For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, it's not unusual for a baby to move around, you know, in the womb. But he wasn't just moving around just like any normal baby would. He leapt for joy. When she walked in the room, when Mary walked in the room, the scripture tells us in verse 41 of Luke chapter 1, it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? When Mary walked into the room, what we see from the text is there is a revelation. She's filled with the Holy Spirit. The babe leaps for joy. And so here I've heard it said, you've got the youngest, the shortest prophet ever recorded in the scripture. John the Baptist, though he is not even born yet, we have scripture given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit telling us that he leapt for joy. How did he do that? How did he know that? It's the revelation of God Almighty. So I don't want to diminish the divinity of the Lord. However, we do want to put it all together. And in the text that we just read in Luke chapter 2, if we back up to verse 40, these are the verses leading up to after his birth and then leading up to what we just read as our scripture text. It says in verse 40 in Luke chapter 2 that the child, this is Jesus, the child grew and waxed strong or grew strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. He grew. In verse 52, the last verse that we read in our text, Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in the favor and in favor with God and man. So again, not wanting to take away from the fact that he is God in the flesh, clothed in human flesh, God has put on him some kind of limitation. You understand what I'm saying? He's a baby when he's born, so he's doing what babies do without sin. Whatever it is that we attach sin to babies, the sin nature, he doesn't have that. And so growing up, he isn't the typical child. There weren't the terrible twos. There was something that made him to be a man-child, but he was divine. He never talked back to his parents. He was never a smart aleck. He never said to the kids growing up, well, I'm Jesus, the Son of God. I'm better than you are. You know, the typical thing. There was never this rivalry. So he lived his life being the Son of God, having the grace of God upon him all throughout his childhood, yet he grew and increased in wisdom the older that he got. Let's talk about the parents for a little bit. Now, Mary was already told what was going to happen. Joseph was already told what was going to happen. And leading up to this, they're aware that though she has not been with a man, the child that she is carrying is conceived of the Holy Spirit. She knows that. Joseph knows that. And the Holy Spirit reveals this to other people. For when he's born, there's the shepherds that come to him. Though Luke does not record it here, there is the visit of the Magi, the wise men, when he's there. When he is 8 days old, and we see in the scripture here that according to what is written in the law, verse 23 of chapter 2, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. Any woman giving birth, she would have been ceremonially unclean for 7 days. If she bore a boy, there were 33 more days, and girls were longer, 66, I believe. That's in Luke 12. After 7 days, on the eighth day, he was to be circumcised. The firstborn male, because of the law, was dedicated to God. Now, in animals, the clean animals, the firstborn male was sacrificed to God. Unclean animals were redeemed. There was a price that was paid. Same happened for babies. They were redeemed. There was a price that the parents had to pay when they dedicated the child. It was a redemption price. It was as though they were receiving the child back again, but they were offering, in that sense, to the Lord. And so the scripture does tell us that when they went to Jerusalem to fulfill the law, to dedicate Jesus to God, you've got the visit of those prophets telling those things to the parents. One of them was in verse 25, Simeon came. He was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of the Lord. It had been revealed to him, verse 26, by the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. God somehow revealed to him who he was. And then when they walked into the temple there, that he knew. And you can imagine Joseph and Mary being witness to this. And Anna, the prophetess, in verse 36, she knew also. Verse 38 says, she coming in that instant gave thanks likewise unto the Lord and spake of him to all them that looked for the redemption in Jerusalem. So they're seeing these things, hearing these things. They know. And as he's growing up, he's the Son of God. And they know. Well, the scripture that we are reading tonight says in verse 41, his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. This is one of the three feasts that they were expected as children of Israel to do, Passover, Pentecost, Tabernacles. Sometimes these were impossible, depending on where somebody lived. Passover was probably the one that was the most energy expended to try to get to do that. And apparently Jesus' parents, it says here in the book of Luke, they did that every year. That's what they did. Now they traveled with a caravan, we see here. It was not uncommon for the children to start out first when they were traveling, and then the women, and then the men, making sure nobody was left behind. I can remember a different time when my parents let me and my brothers just ride our bikes just all over the place. I couldn't imagine letting a child do that now. Just too much meanness in the world, too much evil in the world. I remember my brothers and I riding our bikes to school, to Howard Perrin. You know, we lived in that neighborhood. See, where are we? It's over there. We lived in the neighborhood, you know, it was a long way. I mean, back then, but we're in elementary school, you know. I think I was in fourth grade. My older brother was in fifth grade. My younger brother was in third grade. We're just riding to school, riding back home, you know. I couldn't imagine allowing children to do that. Well, here, lest we think that these are neglectful parents, the reason they didn't know Jesus was not with them is because it was not that unusual for the children to be kind of in a group, maybe walking with other relatives. I mean, that's normal. Kids want to be with kids, and they're, you know, Mom, can I go over here? Dad, can I go play over there? You know. And so that's what we're looking at. Every year, they went to Jerusalem. When he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So it says when they had fulfilled the days, verse 43. Now, I said they were required once a year to go to celebrate the Passover, to commemorate the Lord passing over when they were in Egyptian bondage. And so they were to remember what God had done for them in separating them from the Egyptians. And in the preparation and in all of the sacrificing, and you know, you see a lot of this happening later when Jesus is in his ministry and some of the temple worship that had been turned, as he said, into a den of robbers, you know, a place of thieves instead of a house of worship. And so you can, you know, you can imagine all of the crowds all over the place. And so they would have been expected to do a few things. And so when they had fulfilled the days, that is, when they had done what the law had prescribed, they started back to their home. They didn't know that Jesus had stayed behind. But now remember, he's 12 years old. I remember, I might have been about that age, but Saline County Fair, and you know, we were walking around, my family and I, and I just got transfixed on, I even remember what it was. It was this ring toss, of all things. You know, where they toss those rings over those bottles. And I was just watching. I thought, wow. We were all watching. And I was just mesmerized. Well, I looked up, and my family had just split, you know. I think they tried to lose me because I was not lost. I was, you know, there. And so I thought, went this way, went that way. I couldn't find them. So I thought, well, maybe they just left and went to the car. I don't know. So I walked out of the fair, pitch black, just went to the car. Nobody's there. So I just sat down, you know. I don't remember how long I was there. But much later, my dad walked, you know, I could hear him walking, and he stopped. And I kind of did that, and then he kind of did that. And he saw me sitting there in the dark, and he said, Doug, we've been looking everywhere for you. And I said, well, I've been looking everywhere for you. Where'd you go? You know? I even remember younger than that. My dad was pastor at Norwalk Missionary Baptist Church in California. And my mom went home. You know, we lived in a parsonage just right down about a block away. It was at night. My dad went home. Mom says, where's Doug? I don't know. I thought he was with you. Not with me. He was with you. Well, I didn't see him. Well, I had fallen asleep on the front pew. Pitch black. Everybody's gone. I didn't know anything. And I'm glad I didn't. Because all I remember is Dad waking me up. Said, Doug, we're all home. What are you doing? I don't know. I was probably in first grade or kindergarten or something. So we understand that's what happens sometimes with kids. Jesus is 12 years old. His parents know who he is. They think he's with the rest of the company. Verse 44, they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, a whole day. And at night when they would camp, it says they sought him among their kinsfolk and acquaintance. That's when they knew he wasn't with them. They had traveled a whole day away from Jerusalem. When they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem seeking him. So they probably spent the night and then got up the next day and traveled back. I don't know. I can't imagine that they traveled at night. Maybe they did. I don't know. But they went back and they had to travel a whole other day seeking him. That's key. Seeking him. It came to pass that after 3 days, they found him. Now, we don't know for sure, but what might have happened, they're a day out. And then they're a day back in traveling, and then a whole day, it would seem, looking for him all over Jerusalem. Can you imagine looking all over the city of Jerusalem for a little 12-year-old boy? They're seeking him, and they can't find him. Well, it came to pass after 3 days, they did find him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the doctors or teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. All that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. Now, so that we understand, it later It wasn't like this probably until later, but today Jews have a bar mitzvah for 13-year-old boys, bat mitzvah for 13-year-old girls. In the years leading up to that, they teach them more and more about their customs. At the age of 13, it is when they are said to be adults. They are responsible for the things prescribed in their religion. And we don't really see that age in the scripture, so we can't say that bar mitzvah comes from scripture. Some conjecture, some talk about things, but it's not really something that we can just really put our finger on in scripture that this is when it happened. But it does make sense that the older a child gets, you're obviously teaching your children about, you know, about church, about the scripture. You know, we teach them, you know, growing up. And so it is not unusual to, I don't think a stretch to think that they have been teaching Jesus. I know he's the Son of God, but you don't just say, well, he knows everything anyway. I mean, you don't do that. You teach. And it says he grew in wisdom. So again, not wanting to take away from the divinity of the Lord and that he's the Son of God, you nurture. You nurture your children. They nurtured him. So it would have been proper and expected that as they're going year by year to Jerusalem, Jesus increasing in wisdom and having the grace of God upon him, with him, you can imagine that as they're making those sacrifices, why did they do that? It was all to point to Jesus. So can you imagine the rest of the children, they're learning what this means. This is for the atonement. You know, this is pointing to a sacrifice from God. Jesus is there as a boy watching the sacrificing, watching the bloodletting, and understanding that that is a foreshadow of him. He grasps that. He knows it. 12 years old, he knows it. He understands because of the grace of God, because of the revelation of God, who he is. And so, he's not a 12-year-old that got distracted by what was going on. You know, where'd mom and dad go? And he knew, being the Son of God, he knew his parents had already left. He said, well, okay, if he was the Son of God, and we know he was, why didn't he just say, now, you all don't get alarmed. I'm going to stay here. I'm going to jump out there on a limb and guess that this was a lesson for them. They know who he is, but he's been with them for 12 years. And so to hint to them, he's a little boy. That's why they're frantic. He's never given them cause to worry before. He's never just run off. Where is he? What's he doing? Now remember, there was not a terrible tooth. There was not smart aleck Jesus. He had always been obedient. Who wouldn't guess that, well, he's with the family. He's always been with the family. And when we camp, well, you know, he'll be there. But he wasn't. And so they come back and they find him in the temple. And he's right in the midst of the teachers. He's hearing them. And this word can also be understanding them, listening to them, and asking them questions. This isn't just a, why do we have belly buttons? I mean, you know, that's what kids want to know. I'd like to know that. No, I know that. But it's, the word is a strong word, which is to question demanding an answer. Now, I'll jump out on a limb again. I don't think that he was asking to gain knowledge. I think he was saying, how do you view the scripture here? Because they are amazed, they're astonished at his understanding and his answers. See, they're asking him too. And he's not like, he knows. And he's questioning them. And, well, since we're getting out on a limb a bunch, and we know what's going to happen later, he's going to cleanse the temple twice later in his ministry. He probably sees some inconsistencies at 12 years old. I'm guessing, you understand. But he's asking them, well, what about this over here? And they're just astonished. The boy is 12. And he's been there. Now, this is 3 days at least since they left. So what's he's there every day. Questioning, listening, and answering. And they just can't believe it. Joseph and Mary, verse 48, when they saw him, they were amazed. This isn't the same as the other people being astonished. They were amazed, which means to be stricken with panic. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you thus dealt with us? Behold," the word behold is, look at me. You ever have your mom look at me when I talk to you? Behold, your father and I have sought you sorrowing. They don't get it, see? To them, though they know who he is, he was like, what are you doing? We've been looking for you for 3 days, panicking. Where's Jesus? We've lost the Son of God. Where'd he go? This 12-year-old says to them, how is it that you sought me? Why are you looking for me? Isn't it obvious where I should have been found? Isn't it obvious who I am to you by now? Now, I'm putting words in Jesus' mouth. He was not a smart aleck. He just asked them, why were you looking for me? Do you not perceive that I must be about my Father's business? But you know, parents, when they get scared, they don't come off of that scaredness for a while. And they didn't. They did not understand. Verse 50. You see the word understood, and then verse 47, Jesus' understanding. Those are the very same words. One of them is the state of being, and the other one is the verb, obviously, but it's the same root. Jesus understood fully what he was being told by the teachers and understood everything that was going on, but Joseph and Mary did not understand what had happened. They understood not the saying which he spake to them. It was just like, Jesus, the family's 3 days ahead of us. We're going to have to go back all ourselves because of you. Now, I know I'm putting words in their mouths now. But the point I'm trying to make, Jesus knew who he was. Joseph and Mary were too focused on their little boy. So much focused on that even when Jesus said, shouldn't you have automatically understood that I must be about my Father's business? Not Joseph, but God the Father. It's amazing to me to see the love of God, the love of Jesus, that at 12 years old, he didn't say, I don't want any part of this. He understood why he was here, to go to the cross for you and me. And he's trying to explain to his parents, why were you looking for me? It should have been obvious to you. You know, a day's journey. Oh, he's not here. He's in the temple. He is the Son of God after all. He understands who he is. But they didn't. And something even, again, in keeping with this narrative, he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. He knew they didn't understand, but he was still obedient until they did understand. His mother kept all these sayings in her heart, so she didn't forget them. And I can imagine that later, Joseph and Mary especially, because she kept these things in her heart, would think back on this and think, wow, my boy always knew what he was here for. And he didn't shirk his responsibility. I mean, not that he ever wanted to. I mean, he doesn't have a sin nature. But again, I see the love of Jesus here. The love, the sacrificial love of Jesus that, I mean, he's ready. I know what I'm doing here. And so again, we have the passage: Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. The more he grew, the wiser he grew. Obviously, the taller he grew. And his favor with God and with man increased all the more. He understood. Just fascinating to me to see at 12 years. You know, these are the first words, the first words that are recorded for us that Jesus speaks. And that's really all we know, other than the manger scene, you know, being dedicated at the temple, and in this episode here, we don't really know anything more until he begins his ministry, you know, 30 years old, 18 years later. We don't know anything else. The Apocrypha, which are the intertestamental books, you know, they're not inspired of God. They have stories. That's what they are. I don't consider them to be true, but they have things that they claim Jesus did and said. But this is the only thing that we have from Scripture of what Jesus said before he came to his ministry. So I think that's significant. God wanted us to know something for a reason. I think he wants us to understand he had this all worked out. Jesus did not have to be talked into doing what he did for us. From the very beginning, he already knew. And at a time when children are really beginning to grasp God, church, why we're here, what we're doing, oh, he was just so far ahead. That's the reason the teachers just couldn't believe it. Just couldn't believe it. For 3 days, they're just astonished at this boy. Well, what do we get from it? Again, I think we get the love of God from it. I think we get God knows everything. Everything. He's got it all worked out already. And we don't. We panic for this and panic for that. Don't understand what's happening in the world. But God does. We can trust Him. We can trust Him for anything.